So here's the thing. I'm a rooster. It's my job to wake everyone up. Mornings are my busy time. What with having to keep an eye on the horizon? It's not an easy gig. Mornings are what they are. But it's different for you because there's McDonald's. And right now you can get two breakfast sandwiches for $5. Mix and match the tasty toasty egg McMuffin and the savory satisfying sausage McMuffin with egg. But only for a limited time. Turns out, McDonald's makes mornings better. For you at least. Excuse me.
Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Blog Talk Radio.
I have Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite, cranberry juice.
How dirty.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, howdy, everybody. Welcome to the Left and Straight Show. My name is Scott Fullerton. I'll be your host for the next couple hours. We are live in our very last week at Indulge Resort in Palm Springs. It is Monday, August 27th. Welcome, guests and friends. How are we doing today?
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in Palm Springs.
All right.
We're not on video, so you can't see me get it drunk.
You do not see Michael. It is a huge bottle of vodka that's taller than his right arm. But that's okay. We're good. We're having fun here in Palm Springs.
Oh, my God.
Got to do a lot of big shout-outs before we get started, everyone. A big thanks to the owners of Indulge Resort, John, Sandy, and Manager Raymond. They've been feeling so good here. How do you guys like your rooms? Everything good?
Oh, they're great. They're great.
It's an amazing resort.
There's a big picture of a naked man with a giant penis in my bedroom.
I know. Everyone's got giant penises. I got feet, but.
I have a butt.
I don't know what happened.
I have a butt.
I would prefer
to come to my room later. There's a giant penis there.
But anyway, guys, it's so great to be here at the Indulge Resort. It's been amazing. I think they're going to invite us back next year in June, for the month of June, so look forward to that. It'll be a lot of fun.
We'll do it one more time,
and it won't be quite as hot out here. I want to give a big shout-out to our great sponsors while we've been here, True FM Media, back in Columbus, Ohio. Helped us get our happy butts out here. Of course, when I go back to Ohio in just a couple of short weeks, we're going to be doing the show live every Monday and Tuesday from True FM Studios in Columbus. So that's going to be exciting. Look for us coming there. Of course, our buddy Tony Guadagnino back in New York City does all my social media for me. He's a friend of all of us. If you need any help with your social media, go to tonyguad.com, www.tonyguad.com. Big thank you to Escape Rooms Palm Springs for sponsors. We're all going to go do an escape room right after the show today, guys. We're going to go to Merlin's Magic Room. It'll be our third type try, and we've lost every time because evidently I suck at puzzles. We'll see what happens.
What was the second one you did then?
The second one, we did the Titanic last week.
Was that good?
It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
And then Vampire's Lair. We were so close to the Vampire's Lair. We can't give away why. But someone didn't shine the light right. I won't say it.
Wasn't me.
Okay, and a big shout-out to CBD Canada LA. Someone put together our gift bags and everything. Yoga Works, Sebastian Reif and his skincare line. Of course, our restaurants have been so good to us while we're out here, providing lunch for us every day. We had 849, salads in a jar, just tapas. Today we have the fantastic Pinocchio's, Lulu's, Ruby's Diner, Thai Smile and Sherman's Deli have been feeding us well the past 4 weeks.
Thai Smile, yeah.
What do we have today, guys? We're having a little curry chicken salad. We're having a breakfast burrito, a Cajun chicken burrito, a club sandwich, potato salads, fruit, macaroni salad, all sorts of good stuff. I just got back, of course, from the big five-day excursion to Vegas. I have to give a big shout-out to my friends in Vegas that put us up and trained us really well. We barely spent a dime there on anything except for gambling, and we got lucky that. We brought, of all of our money we brought, and we did a lot of gambling, We came back only down $300. That includes food, tips, everything. It was really nice. So we had a good time in Vegas. But a big shout-out to the Excalibur Hotel, Randy Slavacek and his husband Michael for hooking us up at Legends of Concert and at Chippendales. If you haven't seen social media, you got to see my mom surrounded by the gorgeous boys there. They all came and danced all around us and brought us on stage. It was a lot of fun. And Chippendales is very gay-friendly now. I don't know. It wasn't quite as friendly before, I guess. I mean, they didn't let anybody in. But because of my buddy Randy's husband, Michael, who's a publicist for the show, they become very gay-friendly. They have one part of the show where they bring any gays in the audience up and kind of let the guys laugh to them and everything. It's kind of fun. And the girls go crazy. We actually sat in the back so we could watch the crowd because you have all those screaming girls at their bachelorette parties and everything else. It was hilarious. And the boys are very, very nice.
I bet your mom gave them a run for their money.
My mom enjoyed it. Mom went,
she's still resting.
She made a joke. She said, should I get some ones? She had a big dollar bill. Should I get some ones? And Randy's all like, no, you don't tip here. But she was all ready to get $50 bill and ones to go crazy. So she had a good old time. Any old mother still has a little bit of game left after being a three-year widow here. Big thanks to Chef Robert Irvine, his amazing restaurant in Tropicana, Community Kitchen. Cirque du Soleil, we saw Love, the Beatles show. It was amazing. Of course, like I said, Legend Concert Chippendale. Perez Hilton was a guest on the show right before we went out. He was very kind to us. He's hosting Chippendales for this month. He was very kind to us. So thanks to everybody back there. That's all of our sponsored mail as possible. I'll be hitting you guys up next June, so get ready, everybody.
Let's go swim.
If you missed any of our shows, please go get them at the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/leftofstraight, or hopefully you're subscribed on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, all those fun places. You can find the show all over the place. Have an amazing lineup of guests today. We're going to get to it in just a second. Tomorrow, our very last show, we're having great character actor Jasper Cole, having Billy Clift, it's amazing, director, writer, producer, David Milburn, fantastic actor and producer, will be here when we talk about The Long Road to Freedom that premiered at Outfest just a few short weeks ago. So we have a great final show for you, and food will be brought to us by Lulu's tomorrow. Next weekend is Labor Day, of course, and I'll be traveling home from Ohio, so we're going to have a Palm Springs Marathon repeat next week. There'll be no live shows from Sunday through Sunday. I'm going to replay all 8 of the shows here from Palm Springs, so you'll just look for it on the radio or on iTunes every Monday, Sunday through Sunday of the following week, from the Labor Day of Sunday to the following Sunday. We'll be back live again on September 10th with some great guests coming. I think we have Jake Biondi from Boys Town. I think we have a comedian, Anthony, will be on. Have a great show coming back on the 10th. Let's see. Also, want to give a big shout out to my interns that were producing the show back in Ohio, Christina Rezek and Sam Corrigan. Christina, bring yourself on the air here. We lost Sam
Hello.
Last week because he went back to school at Ohio State University, so he's back. And we're going to lose Christina next week. She has a brand new project. She created her own film that's been accepted in a Beverly Hills Film Fest competition. And she's going to be getting ready for that. Tell the listeners all about it, Christina.
Hi. Thank you. Yeah, so I currently, it's just right now a script. So it became one of the finalists in the Ladies Filmmaker Festival. So at the end of September, hopefully I will actually be in California. So... too bad that it didn't line up. That would have been awesome to be in Palm Springs with you, but we'll have to try some other time.
That would have been fun. Well, a finalist, Beverly Hills Women's in Film Festival, Women Film Creators, congratulations.
All right.
Here for Christina, everybody.
Yeah, Christina.
That sounded amazing.
Ah, thank you very
amazing.
Much, everyone.
All right. Well, here we go, guys. This thanks to all my guests, vacationers here, indulgent listeners. I got a great show for you today. We have with us Ronnie Kroll. Of course, you know him. He's from Chicago. Made a name for himself as Make Me a Supermodel. Became second place and a fan favorite. It launched his modeling career with all sorts of great modeling gigs everywhere from New York to L.A., the cover of Playgirl magazine. We'll talk about that in a second. He's a co-founder of an amazing social group for change called Friend Movement that they're getting ready to retool that a bit. We'll find all about that. And is now pursuing his love of politics. So we'll find out what that's all about in just a few minutes. Next to him, kind of, sort of, we have Michael Beccaro, great friend of the show, New York actor and producer, transplanted here to L.A., best known for his hit web series, Child of the 70s, who has a guest star roster that any filmmaker or television producer would dream of. His new series, Bronx SIU, will be coming on very shortly. He's playing now, I believe. We're going to find out all about that. And in the works, and he has so many other things going on, so we talk to him in just a couple seconds. Next to him, Scott Travis is an entrepreneur and producer whose company, CBT Candle LA, has grown to incorporate celebrity brand, candles, and fragrances to helping create your own private label brands. He's also recently become a producer, doing some great content with some of our friends here and with some great shows he has coming in the future. We're going to hear all about that. And then, guys, I'm so excited. I got to meet, as one of my fellow guests here at the resort, Theo Robinson, Theodore D. Robinson, a portrait artist, just slaying it with his portraits there. He's staying here at the Indulge with me. He spends half his time here, half in France. The amazing portraits go from sketch to paint to photography. Had to have him on the show. So we got a great lineup. Welcome, everybody.
All right.
Friends Robert and Brandon listening in for us. We might be asking you questions. I don't know what to do. We might find out what's happening. Brandon's saying, no, thank you. I'm on my phone. All right, guys. It's a simple, fun time here in Palm Springs. We'll ask a little bit some direct questions to each. Then we'll kind of open it up and talk about things in general. I want to hear about your thoughts of Palm Springs, since you all live here or come here or are local and know a lot more about it than I am, and we'll talk about all sorts of fun things. Let's go ahead and start with our good buddy here, Ronnie Kroll. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
It's so exciting to meet you for the first time.
Isn't it fun? It's so wild to have such a cyber relationship
it
for so many
great.
Years.
I mean, it's cyber in a good way, Brandon. It's a very good
yes,
nice
very,
cyber.
Very.
It's a very fun cyber relationship. Ronnie's been on the show many times with Eddie. I'm so missing
yeah.
him. Yeah. Because Eddie and Ronnie had a t-shirt I almost wore today because it wasn't two of you.
He sends his love, and let me tell you something about that man, my best friend in the world. He actually knows that my boyfriend and I haven't had a lot of chance to spend time together because we're always working. So he's actually like, do you guys want to go and do this together? There's going to be a room in Palm Springs. And
aww.
So he gave this up for me. Aww. And he wanted me to have a good weekend and a relaxing
you're
weekend.
So
we're going to start crying now.
You guys have such a special friendship. It's amazing.
10 years. 10 years now. It's crazy.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's great.
And you guys are getting ready to relaunch or rebrand your Friend Movement?
We're retooling it a bit because, you know, we've had a great run so far. But like anything in, like, the cause-based kind of world, it's difficult. You have to raise a lot of money, and it takes a lot to get projects going. But, you know, from everything from the new F-word, Giving Bowling the Bird campaign, to walking across the country, you know, from Chicago to New York, to just hosting magnificent events to bring community together. You know, when we set off on the journey now 6 years ago to start the organization, we really were just a group of friends that wanted to figure out, well, how do we stop bullying, or at least how do we heal some of the effects? But we decided that instead of being anti-bully, we were going to be pro-friendship. And we thought we were going to go out there and teach the country and the world how to be a better friend. But what we've learned over the last 6 years, we've learned a lot. But the most important thing that we need to be doing for ourselves, especially in today's political climate, is to be our own best friends first. So we're going to be retooling and relaunching and finding ways to continue to bring community together, but all around self-care and investing in oneself and whatever healing you have to kind of do on the inside, you know, that'll hopefully leave a positive impact on the community because hurt people, and when you're upset with yourself or you don't like yourself, you're more likely to hurt other people. So we're just going to be encouraging and enabling people through events and products and services.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You have done such great work in the past. I mean, you feed the homeless or give them care packages
yeah.
in L.A. area, Echo Park or
yeah.
Park, and You've actually given a car to someone who was in need, who's been a great help to the community. I mean, you guys have done some fantastic things. It's got to be exciting to see the results of that and now kind of try to find a way to make it. You need to keep current.
Well, you're keeping current, and you're always kind of learning and navigating. And, you know, being an entrepreneur, I'm sure you have a lot of listeners that are, you know, going at it after their own business, yourself with your candle company. It's like it's not an easy thing to do. And a lot of it is trial and error. And entrepreneurs are willing to go the distance and oftentimes live a very destitute kind of life, you know, for the greater payoff, because you have to – You have to, you know, give it your all and get everything.
And 501c3s now are fighting for every dime out there because it's becoming a smaller and smaller funnel, and everyone gets supposedly richer and richer with tax cuts. And I won't go too far into politics today. it's hard to find money out there to get things going. Like you said, you can only do so long without you kind of try to find a way to retool and make it work.
But for us, it's just about bringing community together and trying to break down walls, because we have so much more in common than we do different, yet we're so focused these days on how we're different, and that fear can really separate us from really enjoying one another and learning more about ourselves. So we try to find ways to challenge that. It's not easy, and it's not always sunshine, rainbows, and butterflies. It can be very difficult work.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome.
You forgot unicorns.
Oh, yes, unicorns, too. We need unicorns.
We talked briefly about your modeling career and everything. That's kind of launched a springboard to creating other projects. And I know you got a couple of new projects in the work. Talk about those a little bit.
One, I can't really talk about the title just yet, but it's going to be in the fashion and beauty world. It's going to be a new reality TV show, and I'm a co-producer and potentially a host of it, but it's being optioned right now, fingers crossed. So all that moves forward, I'm really excited about that. I'm also, of course, retooling Friend Movement and, you know, jumping into politics, you know, which has been one of my biggest loves, you know, my entire life. And a lot of people don't know that about me because they've only seen me as an actor or as a model. But I went to school for political science. So
that's exciting. What was your impetus? I mean, we had such a controversial, we'll say, last election. what was your impetus to want to join that fray and be able to keep your sanity back and going into it?
Well, I want to get back to a time of like an Abraham Lincoln or a JFK or a Martin Luther King, the peacemakers, the ones that really, if Martin Luther King had the dream of, you know, one day the sons of former slaves and slave owners, you know, sitting down together and not judging each other on skin color, I'd like to try to figure out how do we come up with that plan and how do we get the American culture to come together as American citizens first. And there's a lot of healing that needs to be done first. If you think about any relationship that's one-on-one, you know, if there's any sort of, like, disagreement that just kind of gets glossed over, that can become really toxic to the relationship. It can eventually, like, bubble up when you least expect it and ruin the entire relationship. There's no real way, there's no solid foundation to move forward. So I'd like to see more of our leaders today be honest about where we've been in this country. You know, we took this land from Native Americans, we enslaved an entire people, and then there was separate but equal, but not really. And these are deep wounds that are still affecting us today. And just because we now have Donald Trump in office, and maybe people are giving a face to it now, but it's been there bubbling beneath the surface for a very long time. So I think we need to actually call a spade and be like, this is our history. We're not perfect. And there's a lot of great things about the country, and we can move towards greatness together, but only if we listen to each other. And we're not doing listening right now. We're just talking to talk, and there's these big egos on both sides of the aisle that are complicating matters, and they're teaching us how to hate one another. You know, from our politicians to watching your main corporate media between CNN and Fox, and, you know, they're feeding us, they're spoon-feeding us what they know we want to hear and what riles us up and what makes us feel good. But at the end of the day, then we're hyped up on steroids 24/7 going out into the community, and we're more likely to get into fights with each other, be afraid of each other, and we're so much better than that. So I think I have a background, a unique one, from acting to modeling and living in Chicago and New York and my time in politics. I have a unique approach, and I have a really great group of friends that I think are so talented. And if given the chance to get involved with politics, if I could put them in places where they could, you know, go to work, I think we could really do something together.
That's amazing. Now, talking about how few money there is for 501c3s, there's jillions of dollars for politics, but it's getting to it, how is that the money game? Because that's part of the problem with politics now, right?
That is. I mean, until we can really take money out of politics and really put it on merit, like we need to be able to level the playing field. We need to have politicians be able to get up there and win on merit and platform, and instead of just being able to get, like, Donald Trump got $5 billion in free press this past election. You know, that's crazy to me.
Right.
It's crazy. It is a lot about raising money. But for me, it's going to be organic. You know, I think Bernie Sanders has been really good at raising money across large groups of people and smaller denominations. I think that's really – we need to remember that the people are sovereign. A lot of times we get so fearful of government and we give so much of our power away to one man or one office or the Congress – Congress has a 10% approval rating right now, which is just abysmal. But we have to realize that we, the people, are always the ones really in charge. And if we band together and listen to one another, that there's room for progress. There's room for growth.
Very much so.
I want to have the conversations that no one's willing to have. I want to be a politician that actually will speak the truth. And however far that kind of gets me and whoever that resonates with, you know.
Well, good on you. We need a positive voice in politics, and we'll find out how we can help you with that at the end here. The last thing I want to ask you about is you've had this such an amazing, diverse career. You're actually writing an autobiography, which I love the title of. Talk about that, and we'll finish on that note.
Yeah, you know, I love to write. I'm an artist at heart, so any vehicle that I can find to express and get out there. But this book has been – I've been procrastinating and avoiding and afraid of it because so much of – writing is vulnerability. It's about exposing yourself. It's about exposing your soul and in a different way than your body, right? Like modeling and stuff like that is one thing, but when you're going into a more emotional space, it's scary. But it's called Behind the Smile, and throughout my career, I've been kind of known for being a smiley kind of guy. My smile has been my signature, and oftentimes behind that smile, things aren't always so happy. You know, there are a lot of things in life as we're going towards our goals that are obstacles and can bring us down, and I've had to overcome a lot of those obstacles in the forms of struggle and certain individuals that have presented themselves or situations that took me off guard that I wasn't prepared for. And I want this to be more than just an autobiography, like where people get to know more about me, but I want there to be little bits of wisdom in each chapter that someone who could just flip open any chapter will, you know, be able to take something that I've learned and put it to use, you know, in their life to kind of help them out too.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations on all of that.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. We're having an amazing show today. We're talking to Ronnie Kroll. In just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Michael Beccaro. We got to let him fill up his vodka here. So, Christina, get ready to play Michael Beccaro's Own Child of the 70s song in a second. We have Scott Travis from CBT Candle, and we have Theo Robinson, artist extraordinaire. So you'll see Left the Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Tell me, what would you say if I flashed a peace sign your way? Tell me, how would you react if I wore bell bottoms black? Do you remember a time when bad hair wasn't a crime and most things only cost like a dime? And it seemed that we were dancing a hard time. Raise our glass to me if you please. I'm a child. Yeah, I got that through my head, but that don't mean that I'm wrong.
Are back, and I'm losing my voice thanks to the summer cold. Guys, we're talking today with Theo Robinson, Ronnie Kroll, Scott Travis, and Michael Vaccaro. Michael, welcome to the show. How are we doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm drunk.
You
How are
have
you?
Tried the hardest to get here. Poor Michael is this working actor in L.A. Every time we turn around, he has to reschedule because another schedule coming on.
Right,
so finally, 4 weeks later, we have you in Palm Springs.
This is my last chance.
I'm excited.
I walked here.
He wanted a free hotel room for the night. He's got some trick.
He walked in my car. He walked in my car.
Hey, we had to go into the fifth season of Travel and Seven. Everyone knows the fifth season, anything is hard. But a fifth season of a web series that you put blood, sweat, and tears in as Carlo Perdente. Talk about the show and welcome to season five.
Thanks very much. It's our fifth and final season because I can't stand it anymore. I just want it to be over. No, that's a joke. I love it, but I'm sad to see it go, but I'm also happy to sort of move on to other things. So, yeah, we have this show. It's called Child of the 70s. It is about – we are finished production on the fifth and final season. It's being edited right now as we speak. As I sit here, it's being edited. And hopefully we will premiere in the fall.
Nice. And talk about the origin of it and the main characters and what it's
basically about. Yeah, it's a sitcom. It's called Child of the 70s. And it's sort of done in the style of a 70s sitcom. It's a little bit of an homage to my favorite show of all time, which is Rhoda, starring what?
Getting Ready Bewitched.
Oh, no, that's another one of my favorite shows, but there's no witchcraft in my show. But there are a lot of Jews in my show, like Rhoda, and a lot of New Yorkers. And so I sort of play a gay version of Rhoda. His name is Carlo Perdente, and the joke is he's an Italian from New York, and Perdente in Italian means loser.
Oh, no.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah. So it's about this gay Italian American from the Bronx. I happen to be in real life a gay Italian American from the Bronx. So it's not a big stretch. There's no acting involved. And so it's a sitcom, it's done in the style of the 70s. We have a lot of people from the 70s on
guest
the show. We have a lot of tremendous guest stars. We have had Ted Lange from The Love Boat. He's Isaac, our bartender. He's done three seasons with us now so far. He's in this final season as well. We've had the lunatic Susan Olsen from
a little bit of a crazy train, but she's also a nice girl.
She is, and she knows that she's a crazy train. But we can talk politics if you want to, because she's a super Trump supporter.
Oh, right.
She's a super Trump supporter, right. Muslim hater, and all the whole thing. It's great.
Yay!
We get into a huge fight. You can talk to Jasper Cole about that tomorrow. He'll have a lot to say about that, I'm sure. Who else is it? Donna Pascal. You remember Donna Pascal?
I love Donna Pascal. What was her alien show she was in? Wasn't she in a show that had an alien?
Oh, with the little girl who was a robot.
Starman or something?
I don't remember.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah. She is gorgeous and she's fantastic.
Village People?
We had Randy Jones.
Love Randy
Jones. Who
was
the original cowboy from the Village People. He's done two seasons now. He just flew in from New York to do his little final bit on this season. Who else do we have? There are lots of people.
Bruce Valanche.
Bruce Valanche is in it, of course. Comedian Bruce Valanche. Comedian Judy Tenuta, who's also known as
Judy.
Okay.
And we
got to
talk about Ann Walker.
Ann Walker's one of my favorite girls on the planet. Yeah.
How did you guys meet? How did you pick her to do this series?
We probably met in a bar. She surrounds herself by gay guys 24/7. We probably met in a gay bar. I don't really exactly remember. But she likes a martini or four. And she likes it. She likes it very, very dry, which means that it's just, you know.
She's all mad that she couldn't be here because we're in a gay resort. So next year when I come, I'm going to be doing some of the interviews at the LGBT Center here so I can have the females come.
Tell her to wait out in the car. That's fine. She could do that. Sneak in.
I can sneak her in the back door.
Yeah, just sneak her in.
Just leave the window down a little bit.
You can and,
The shows will be from midnight till 2 in the morning, and we'll just sneak people in the back door here.
So Ann Walker plays a character named Kiki Lawrence, who is a fictional television star from the 70s. And Carlo, my character, is her personal assistant. And that's sort of our jumping off point. And she plays a complete egomaniacal crazy person from the 70s, and she's
we've had them on the show to talk about before. It's such a fun series. We played clips and everything. I just love that it's so cool. But last season, I don't know how you have it this season, because there was a big explosion last season. You're a cliffhanger every single year, and last year was a big cliffhanger.
Last year, I was dating this guy whose favorite show was Melrose Place. And I have never seen an episode of Melrose Place ever in my life. But
excuse me?
I have never seen an episode of Melrose
Place. Wait, what?
I haven't either.
Wait, what?
So anyway, but
you're a monster. You've lost a gold gate card. You're now a gold gate card.
Well, no, but this guy I was dating, he sat me down and made me watch like endless hours of it. And so there's an episode. One of the seasons ended with Melrose Place exploding, right? Some crazy bitch put a bush of alarm across the
city. Kimberly.
Okay. Yeah, she had a brain tumor or something like that, right? Yeah, I don't know.
That was Marcia Cross, right.
So anyway, so she goes up the hallway. So I needed a way to end the season, and I like a cliffhanger because I like to – see, it's really sort of like a cross between Rhoda and Dynasty. So I like a cliffhanger. We had an earthquake one season.
That was the good one.
We had a. the others were terrible.
No, they're all good. But I like those.
We had one season cliffhanger where there was a wedding that got horribly interrupted by Johnny
Dynasty.
Johnny
Whittaker.
That would have been even better. But anyway, so I came up with this idea. I stole this idea, I should say. So I got all the characters into a house. It was an Emmy Awards party. My character just
won. It was a beautiful house, too.
It was a beautiful house. You know Frank Pond?
I don't.
Oh, okay. Anybody? Frank Pond, thank you, wherever you are. He's super rich. So he has this amazing house in West Hollywood. So, yes, he let us borrow his house, and he let us ruin it and fuck up the floors. We had a huge explosion. So I put all the characters in, had a huge explosion. Any of the actors fucked with me, then I just killed them off. It's easy. So,
he does. He does. I'm not kidding. He does. He'll kill you off.
He'll love quite a few people.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kickstarter made $1,000 left. Two characters. Dead in the fire.
So hopefully in the fall, when we premiere, you will be able to see who lives and who dies. And the whole first episode of next season takes place in a hospital. So, everybody.
I'm looking forward to it immensely. Did you get any trouble for ruining this horse?
Only a little bit.
I got to tell a story real quick, because when I used to live in L.A. when I was a kid, our big thing, every summer, we would get a big group of us and go Christmas caroling in Beverly Hills. And we all dress up really nice, and we go to the houses without gates, and we go sing Christmas carols, and then we go to a really nice dinner in a different restaurant in Beverly Hills every year. So one year, we got Lucille Ball's house. It was our first year doing it. And so she came out. She has a little... one of those things above the porch there, the window that overlooks the yard and everything. We're singing Lucille Ball. We're all excited, so we keep singing. It was our first year, so we didn't really know what we were doing. We forgot to buy the dripless candles. Wax all over her patio from about 10 of us with candles on there. She remembered us the next year. She wasn't real happy. She said, "What kind of candles do you have this year?" And when you have Lucille Ball yelling at you over your candles, you go, "Oh, my God." It was very funny story. I flash back for a second. You say ruining floors. Like, Lucy Ball's yelling at these kids.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's an awesome story.
It's a fun story.
That's a great story.
I would do it to this day. If I could have adults who take Christmas carols, I would go do it every year. Let's get back to you, Michael. You've done so many great projects in TV, guest star and everything. Talk about, you have a new one coming out that's playing right now. Talk about that.
Bronx SIU. SIU stands for Special Investigation Unit. And it's on, it's not a comedy, although it sounds hilarious, but it's not a comedy. They're very serious. It takes place in the Bronx, although we shot it here in California. I think they shot some of it in the Bronx, but not me. And it stars this amazing actor named Brian White. Look him up. He's gorgeous. He's super sexy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, black guy's like, he's a black guy. he's super sexy, and he's a great actor. He's the star of the show. And I play Deputy Commissioner Ferguson. I work with the mayor, and I have secrets. I have things to hide.
I like secrets.
I'm not a nice guy. And neither is the mayor, actually. Both of us are kind of corrupt. We're Republicans.
It's like on, it's playing right now, right? What is that, like Thursday night or something right now?
It's on Amazon. It's on Amazon Prime.
So it's on.
So you can see it. You can see it right this minute. You can go to Amazon Prime and look up Bronx SIU.
Bronx SIU.
Yeah.
And you'll be a great transition to our next guest, Scotty, here in a second. You have your own cologne line you've designed that smells fantastic.
Thank you.
Everyone, well, we're going to have some gift bags for you guys. You get to sample it just a little bit. Talk about that. What made you decide to do something like that? That's fun.
Well, you know, because I've always wanted to be Elizabeth Taylor.
And he is. And he is.
And I am, sort of. I've had many husbands. And yeah, I met Scott, who does this, who has this candle company, and I said, you know, I've always wanted to do a cologne. I've always had this idea for a cologne. I know exactly what I want to call it. I know what I want it to smell like. You know, if you're ever interested in doing something like that, you know, please let me know. And he said, yeah, let's just do it.
I know nothing about it, but I'll do it.
Right. And so yeah, so we figured it out. We, you know, you have to figure out all these things in colognes. Like there are top notes and there are bottom notes. There are tops and bottoms, just like in this room.
And the middle is universal. The middle note.
The verse.
And yeah, it's called Proteus. And Proteus was the is a Greek god.
Yeah.
Proteus is all. It's sometimes known as Poseidon. Sometimes in mythology, he's the son of Poseidon. It smells like the top note is amaretto. So it smells very almondy. And yeah, it comes in a spray, and it comes in a solid, and it comes in a roll-on, and it's also a candle as well. So we have a whole line.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Michael and Carl, for finally making it after Palm Springs.
Hey, my pleasure.
Yay! All right, Christina, finding the song for us. When we come back, speaking of candles and potions and fragrances, we're going to be talking to the owner of CBD Candle LA, Mr. Scott Travis, in just a couple of moments. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio.
I think I'm breaking like the waves on the shore. A million diamonds on the ocean floor. When my
back to us, a straight show live from the Indulge Resort here in Palm Springs. I have as my special guest today Michael Vaccaro, Scott Travis, Ronnie Kroll, and Theo Robinson. I almost forgot your last name for a second. Sorry about that. Here we go. Scott Travis, owner, operator of CBT Canvas LA. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you. Doing very well.
For those of you that don't know, and I'll show a picture of it later, Scott has made some amazing gift bags for all of our guests that have made it to us here. He does things like that for everybody in town, but he also has his own line of soy candles. So tell them why soy candles and tell them how you started the company.
Oh, God, you really want that story? Okay. Well, long story, to make a long story short, too late, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. About 10 years ago, my father, God rest his soul, made a comment about how I brought candles home. I made candles for my family for Christmas presents. And he said, you know, you should start your own company. These things are great. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he sat me down and he started doing a business plan for me. And I was like, whoa, okay, I guess I am going to start this. And by the time I drove home from San Francisco to L.A., it was all set in my head, and I started a month later.
That's amazing. What made you choose soy? And what?
Soy is better, it's better for the environment. It's a cleaner burn, and it lasts longer, and it absorbs scent a lot easier. And it's, non-toxic. So,
talk about how you choose scents.
Scents are just, for me, it's just what I like, what my nose picks out, you know, or if I'll see something in a store and I'll see like two candles and I'm like, huh, okay, gardenia and chocolate, let's try that one. And, you know, something like that. Now we're just mix
like
and match.
Like the Pringles commercial where you combine the Pringles.
Yes,
I like that.
Combine
the
Pringles.
Very cool.
Like a pizza. And so I created the scents that I like. And then over time, it's been 9 years now since I started, almost 10 years since I started the company. Different clients or something, they said, can you try this? How about this? And how about this? And I just all trial and error, my two favorite words.
And you ship these things nationwide?
Nationwide. I'll even go international if I actually have to speak to them on the phone. I don't just do it online. Most of my clients are in New York and Florida and here in California. And then anybody can buy them over the internet.
And you started doing a celebrity line. How did that come about?
It started off with my friend Sheena, actually. I'm sorry. That was a mistake. It was actually started off with my mother. It started off with my mother. She played Sissy on Family Affair. And she asked if I could do a line for her.
Do you all remember Family Affair before we move on?
Of course, Family
Affair with Brian Keith and Johnny Whitaker and, yeah.
And my mother.
Kathy Garver,
and my mother.
Sissy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah.
So she asked me to do a line, and I did, and started with that. And then it went to Carolyn Hennessy, Sheena Metal, Michael Vaccaro, Hank Garrett. He was in the 3 Days of Condor. He was the killer mailman. Allison Arngrum.
Right.
So I can't forget Allison, my little Allison. She has two.
Nellie Olson.
She has two candles, two scents herself, one Nellie and one Allison. and I just started from there. And then thanks to this wiener right over here, I started doing colognes just like in the last 2 years. So he was my first cologne. I actually went to him and I said, I want to do a scent for you, like just a candle. That's all I wanted to do. And he's like, he comes back with, well, you know, I've had this thing about a cologne. And I'm like, okay, I've never done one before, but hey, let's do it. So I did. And so now he's got Proteus. And then I have, next one, I've got T2, Trials and Tribulations, and then One Hunt that I dedicated to my father, Gaddy, which I've dedicated to my cousin who passed away. And then a new one I haven't named yet, and one for Hank Garrett.
Nice. That's
yeah, it's really cool.
And then you started going to all these premieres and started providing the gift baskets that I heard about. So I found you online and said, hey, I'm coming to L.A. I'd like something for you. And you put together these amazing things for me last May.
Last year,
so
yeah.
I had to have you read, but how did that business start?
It actually, I will say, my mom did it again. She she got me hooked up with a woman at the Oscars. They did the gifting suite for the Oscars, and I did a gifting suite for that. And since then, it's like I do mostly, it's mostly donations. Like I'll donate the gift bags to certain charities and stuff like that. Good text right off. And, you know, I like being helpful. I like, you know, helping and, you know, giving to the, to whatever charity is out there, you know. Again, thanks to Michael. I started my, I did my first commercial with him, directed it and produced the damn thing for Proteus, which is great, which is, I'm going to be posting back on social media soon. And then I went to my second commercial and my third commercial, and now I produced the fifth season of Child of the 70s. And
talk about that. You have more producing gigs coming up. Like you said, your mom is
with my, I'm doing a show. I'm doing a show with my mom called Aunt Sissy. It's Family Affair 50 years later, and it's going to be actually going to be really fun. We're, looks like from talking to her just yesterday, we're probably going to start filming in October down here in Palm Springs. And then it's funny because you mentioned Jake earlier. I'm going to be producing his Boys Town.
Nice.
Yeah, and Michael's going to be in it. If I have
very to, cool.
Given. I said given. Michael's going
to
be in.
Well, thank you for coming down to Palm Springs and putting these amazing gift bags to Horace Scott. I really
you
appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I hope everybody loves the new cologne.
Guys, we are going to go to one more break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Theo D. Robinson, fantastic portrait artist. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio.
It's not like you know me. I live in the world of green. I got too good at painting the dream. But if you really knew me, this fuck made it out in the flesh. I'm here cause I'm getting it. I'm gonna turn the tide. I'm gonna live my life the way I want, the way I want to. No matter what they say, I'll do it all my way. The way I want, the way I want to. I've come undone, but now I pull myself together.
Alrighty, we are back on the Left of Straight show here. I am joined today with Michael Vaccaro, Scott Travis, Ronnie Kroll, and we are going to be talking to Theodore D. Robinson, who I met in the resort here. Theo, amazing. I saw one of your pictures of the resort here and your portraits, and we've had such a great time getting to know each other. Welcome to the show. You spent part of your time in Palm Springs and part of your time in Paris. Let's start at the beginning, though. You were an artist from an early age. Your mom was an artist, right?
Yes, that's correct. My mother was a painter and sketched, did etches, had her work published. One of her commissions was used by Shell Gasoline Corporation for their corporate office. So I saw very young, at a very young age, what the sort of joys of being creative were like. So the rest of my family was also very encouraging and of my creative talents. And so I knew at a young age that I wanted to be an artist, and that my family was very supportive and encouraging of that all the way through getting my college degree from the University of Arizona and Bachelor's of General Fine Arts.
That's fantastic. And what made you decide on portraits in particular to specialize?
Well, when I was in my, junior year at U of A, a roommate, this young girl, a dancer who lived next to me, had this, it was like laminated poster or print from a, I think, Interview magazine photo of Tom Cruise. And it was all warped and turning yellow and stuff. And she said, I'll pay you $250 if you can redraw and make this into a drawing. For me. So I did that and sort of discovered my style in illustration and drawing. Once I did that and started and fell in love with that particular style, I couldn't work always from other people's photos. So I started taking photography and combined photography with drawing and with painting. So when I do photography in and of itself by commission, but then I also will do drawings or paintings based from my own photography as a separate form of commission. So I wear several different hats. I'm also, and you guys might enjoy this, I wear the hat, I draw, I paint, and photograph people, but I'm also writing a story for books, TV, series, and games called The Pluto Run, about an epic race of magnetic solar sail yachts racing from Mercury to Pluto and back again in the late 38th century.
I was writing something exactly like that.
Yeah, right? it's sort of like the clipper ship races of the Gold Rush era, or today's Volvo Transatlantic, but in our solar system. So it's a tour of our solar system. So it's the time of an empire, a corrupt empire ruled by the Eternal Empress, who's been cloned 16 times. There's a rogue AI general. There'll be revolution. She'll get knocked off probably after season one. So that's sort of the. So I do my portrait work. That's what I've been doing for 30 years. I've been trying to write this story for about 15. But the problem is I'm not really a writer. I draw. I have actually built spaceships and photographed them, like from model parts. I build these models, and then I take them apart, and I save all the pieces, and then I rebuild things into my own designs. And I photograph them, and right now they're all up on my Facebook page.
That is very cool. I love that. You got to get back on the show when you start finishing that project. That's amazing.
Yeah, cool.
And then you talk about restoring. You kind of got inspired by an early Sting restoration. That kind of inspired your Tom Cruise restoration.
Sting is the first portrait that's on my website. Yes, that's from 1987. That was from a tiny little, like, inch and a half high little photo from some magazine I found in a used bookstore. So I did that and up on my site just to, you know, context, so people can see where I really started. On my new site, which is robinsonarts.com. I've had a site under that URL since 2003, but it was in Flash. So you couldn't see my work on phones or tablets, and if you didn't have Flash. So now it's visible on any platform, phones, tablets, computers. So on my Robinson Arts site, that's strictly photography and portrait work. I do have a site and a page for the Pluto Run. I'm in the process of discussing with my web designer on how to build a proper site for that. If anyone is interested in them, I have a page on Facebook for the Pluto Run and for Robinson Arts.
Oh, fantastic. We'll have to give all that again at the end. And then talk about your early influence besides your mom and family, what artistic influences do you feel that you kind of taught to you?
Probably my first influence would probably be Leonardo da Vinci. Because when I'm photographing or doing someone's portrait, the thing that is sort of most fun is to get the Mona Lisa smile. You know, when you get that smile that says, you're not sure quite what it's saying, you know, or what the person's, you know. But I like to capture all kinds of looks from people. It's a lot more fun, I like. But he's the earliest. But anywhere from Leonardo da Vinci to Caravaggio to Rembrandt, Vermeer, Andy Warhol, Frank Frazetta. That's some of my influences. Herb Ritz. Bruce Weber, Mario Testino for photographers, Albert Watson, Cyclops, you know, that's a few. So lots of different areas and different types of artists influence me.
And you've shown exhibits everywhere from the U.S. to the U.K. to Paris, but we were talking out the pool one day, it's been very hard for a portraits artist to get showing because it's a whole different thing. People, they want to see a picture of a person, they'll commission that, right? There's not a thing.
Most of my work is by commission, so it's very hard. Galleries and gallery owners don't often take portrait artists per se because, you know, again, as you just said, portraits don't sell off
all.
Unless they're Marilyn Monroe, again, Mona Lisa, right?
Right.
Or, you know, something like that. So it's very hard. It's hard to get, you know, gallery owners interested in what I do. Unless they're in it for the long term, and not so many alleys are. And I like being independent anyway. I don't fit really well into the agency system, so I tend to stay independent. I'm also somewhat semi-retired, so I'm not like hustling, you know, to get work all the time. I take what jobs I want, and which interests me. And that keeps me busy enough. So. That works out fine. So, my training in photography and everything really started when I got to Paris and lived there in Paris for 18 years. And I had a loft with great light that I could shoot people in. So that's where I really got started with that.
Well, talk about that transatlantic life. I mean, you lived here part of the year, there part of the year. What was your initial draw to Paris and what kept you there?
That's several questions. So what drew me to Paris? When I was growing up as a kid with my cousins, we had one aunt who lived in Palma, Mallorca. And she traveled all over the world and, you know, was sort of like our Auntie May a little bit for all of us, not just me.
Nice.
And so she was always this far-off romantic figure living in Europe. And, you know, she'd send us for Christmas presents coins, you know, like from different countries and stuff, like silver dollars and stuff. But,
cool, yeah.
Wrapped in tons of digipaper that took us like minutes to open. She was sort of an inspiration. But then, you know, growing up as an artist and studying art history, which I had to do in college a lot, you know, especially when studying the modern artists, you know, everything, you know, in the art world in the, you know, the 20th and 19th century was in Paris. So, you know, being an artist and doing what I do, it was just a logical step that I would go to Paris. So in the 90s, after I finished school at U of A, I moved to San Francisco, lived there in Hayes Valley for 7 years. Then my mom passed away and stuff happened and I was able to go live in Paris and decided to settle there and stay there for 18 years.
Fantastic. Well, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming in.
It's a great pleasure, guys,
to meet you here at the resort. All right, we're going to take one last break. When we come back, we're going to do some roundtable questions. Get everyone on social media so you can follow these fantastic men. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Thank you.
Two and two. Two and two. You're a Republican.
All righty, we are back, everyone. Guys, we're going to finish up today. We are talking to Ronnie Kroll. We're talking to Scott Travis. We're talking to Michael Vaccaro. And we're talking to Theo Robinson right here in the Left of Straight Show, second to last show at the Indulge Resort in Palm Springs. I'm very sad, guys. I have to leave. I wish I could take the hot tub home with me, because I'm used to this hot tub every single night. It's going to be very scary going back to Ohio and being hot tubless.
Hot tubless? Hot tubless. Get it blow off. Get it blow off line.
I fall in love with Palm Springs. I have not been here for the 20 years I've been in Ohio. Back when I came here, it was as a high school for spring break, and the Sonny Bono outlawed, because I remember going, taking an hour and a half to go down Palm Canyon Drive, and everyone jump in and out of cars, and it was a crazy time here in Palm Springs. And Sonny Bono said, no, we're not going to have that anymore, and they kind of stopped it. But talk about your guys' experience. You've come to Palm Springs quite a bit, right?
Yeah, I've been, Scott. Yeah, the last 2 years I've been down here almost every other week.
And what's your draw here? What do you like about it?
I have a lot of friends here. I did a lot of good restaurants here. But I'm actually, because of my mom's TV show, I've been doing a lot of location scouting down here too. So I'm trying to get a lot of stuff because we're filming the whole thing in Palm Springs. So, and my mom has a house down here too. So it makes things a little convenient.
Did you come down here much at all, Michael?
Yeah, I actually, my only connection to Palm Springs is that it's 117 degrees, which I like. I'm one of those people. I'm from New York City. You're from Chicago, right? How do you bear it? It's unbearable. I never want winter again. And so I come here to Palm Springs so I can lay by a pool, make it, and bake in the sun and work on my tan. And I will never, ever, ever, ever complain about how hot it is. I don't care. I don't care if it's a million degrees. If it's the surface of the sun, I don't care. I'm not going to complain about it because I hate the cold.
wouldn't make it in Chicago.
I was there for two days, one winter.
What's the difference between East Coast hot and dry?
122 degree weather.
East Coast hot is all humidity. So you melt in the East Coast. Here you bake.
Yeah.
So I'd rather bake. We can get hot. 122 degrees. The weekend here was 118 degrees.
I was sweating taking a shower.
I flip-flops one day at the pool. I just about burned the bottom layer of my skin off my feet. It was horrible.
I see, but I'm not going to complain about that.
There you go.
In public.
Theo, you're here 6 months ahead. What made you choose Palm Springs of all places?
When I was living, I first came to Palm Springs around 1995 when I was living in San Francisco working as a waiter in Hayes Valley. Friends of mine and I would come down here. I tried several resorts. I moved to Paris in 97, then I came back to California and stayed here in Palm Springs and stayed for the first time at Indulge. So I've been coming here for 20 years, on and off. I mean, not at one specific time of the year or at a rate of, sometimes it's years apart or whatever, but I always come back here.
Do you have certain times you do now since you're by Atlantic? I guess?
Well, it's sort of spring, like if my condo is rented, I might come stay here if my partner's back in France already. So, it's Palm Springs is just, so nice. I love Paris, and it was really great, but it's gray, wet, and cold most of the year. And I'm from Tucson, Arizona, so, I really miss the sun and the heat, and I love it. And even at this time of year when it's, baking, at least you're not on the West Coast, the East Coast, boiling.
Right.
Because the humidity is so high. So I'll take the dry desert summer heat any day. Love it.
Yep.
Love it here.
Ron, did you get out here that much?
I usually come down here for either actor or artist reasons. I come to look at the galleries. There's a huge art community down here, which is a lot of fun. And I've been blessed to have a couple of films in the film festival down here. Scrooge and Marley and Bob both were down here for the film festival.
Let's talk about vacations in general, both LGBT and just regular. Where do you guys like to go on vacation?
Well, again, aside from the East Coast, I used to spend every summer either on Fire Island or in P-Town, Provincetown. I got married in Provincetown. I got married at the boat slip in Provincetown, and it's been many years since I've been there.
You had an anniversary, didn't you?
I did. Well, my wedding anniversary was the 24th of this month, so it's just a few days.
Congratulations.
And I love the beach. So even when I was living on the West Coast, I was, any chance I could get, I was always at the beach.
I do miss the beach. I was in Ventura and Huntington Beach for quite a while. I drive to Lake Erie quite a bit. It's not the same. The waves are this big, so it's like it's still nice.
I was brought up on the beach, so like my whole life I've lived by the beach.
Do you travel? Do you like to travel?
Most I travel is like, you know, Palm Springs, San Diego. I mean, I pretty much stay in Southern California unless I go home to visit my family in San Francisco.
You look all over on it. Where do you like to travel?
I mean, the fun one for me is Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so easy. It's a four-hour drive, you know. It's fun to go play some cards, go see a show, and the Aria Buffet. I'll give them a free shout-out because, like, the Aria Buffet is everything.
It's, like, phenomenal. Yeah.
I like, literally starve myself for days just so that I can go gorge at the Aria Buffet.
Aria is actually the greatest buffet.
It's
yeah,
incredible.
It
it's so good.
It really is.
It's so good. But overseas, I want to get back to Italy. I fell in love with Florence, Italy, the Tuscan kind of culture and food and wine. And there's just, you know, because the United States, the Americas are so young, and when you go overseas, there's so much history and fun stuff. You can just feel the history.
I want to go to Greece.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to Greece. I'm half Greek, so I've always wanted to.
I love mythology of the kids. So Greece and Rome are the two places I want to go. To
Rome is my favorite place in the whole world.
Rome
is my favorite place in the whole world. It's the favorite place.
I've never left the continental North America. I've been to Canada a bunch, been to Mexico a bunch, been to Hawaii a bunch, but I've never left.
It's time.
It's time.
Take the show. Take Left and Straight over.
Left and Straight to Italy and Greece.
Left and Straight to Italy and Greece.
That's
next year.
Sophia, where do you like to go?
Left and Straight in Prague.
Well, we live half the year in the south of France, in this little region, in this little port village called Cervera, which is right on the border with Spain. So the food, we spend most of our time actually in Spain rather than in France because, I mean, the food shopping is better. We love the restaurants, tapas, so that's one of our favorite things. The cheese is unbelievable. Manchego cheese is just like, anyway. Spain, really good food. France has amazing good food, of course, great produce, everything. I don't know Palm Springs that well yet. My partner cooks most of the time, so we tend to stay in a lot. But I know there's some really good restaurants here, some of which are closed in the summer, I've discovered. So I had to try some new things.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, let's do one little individual question to change your specialist. Michael, you've been doing this web series now for 5 years.
Yeah.
It's such a great way for actors to present themselves because it's so tough out there in the business now, but it's become such a game now. You have to get the funding through crowdsourcing or stuff like that. Do you see web series staying a thing, or do you see it stepping up or changing around, or where do you see that?
Well, like you said, I've been doing it for, I guess we started probably 8 years ago, started with writing it and all that stuff. So I think we've gone through a period where, you know, now anybody can be a filmmaker, essentially, as long as you have an iPhone. Basically, if you have an iPhone, you can be a filmmaker. Anybody who has the money to go out, buy a nice Canon, can call themselves a photographer, right?
Yeah.
We've talked about this. And so then all of a sudden, there was a sort of glut of, like, of web series where anybody could put anything they wanted up on YouTube and get millions of hits and all that stuff. So I think we sort of had to spend that time and wade through all of that stuff, and a lot of it was terrible. So now I think actually it's getting really, it's all sort of getting really great. I have another idea for another one I want to do. And now there are all these platforms, besides YouTube, obviously. Child of the 70s, for instance, is now on Deku. I don't know if anybody knows Deku, which is...
Deku's a great...
It's great. It's not LGBT, it's just G.
Oh, just G, okay.
It's specifically G. It's like Netflix for G. And it's great. So they're showing it as well. And we're also on Out TV. Which is all throughout Europe, in fact, as well. So, but I think that now people can do web series and with a reasonable expectation that they're going to be seen. Maybe they'll get on Amazon. Maybe they'll get on Netflix. I mean, there are so many great platforms out there now. So, which makes it better, but also a little bit more difficult because you have to be good. You have to get good.
But aren't they regulating it now? Because, I mean, they even have awards now for web series.
The Emmys have awards now for
which is about time, yeah, because there's some great acting out there now.
Yeah, there's great acting. And you know, full-on celebrities want to do them now. So I think it's a great opportunity. I would suggest that people, I mean, just this business in general, but that specifically, it's really hard. Just don't think that you're just going to get in and like get a, you know, get picked up by Amazon. It's really hard. Years and years and years of struggle and begging people for money. You know, having sex with everybody.
just to get them on your show.
Right. You know, so it's one of those things where it's you can't do this part time. I guess is what I'm saying. This is, you know, this becomes your life, and you have to take a project and know that you're going to be working on this project for 8 years, and you're not going to have anything else.
It always costs more and takes longer than you think.
Absolutely. You always go over budget. You're always begging for more money. You're always begging for more time. You're always begging for volunteers. It's just, yeah. But it's part of the deal. And I think as much as I complain about the whole process, I've obviously loved it.
Yeah.
And Scott, talk about your business. I mean, you do mostly mail order, right? You don't have do you have a showroom as well?
No, I've actually been contemplating a brick and mortar here in Palm Springs.
So talk about the need for social media and something like that, or how do you build a business online anymore?
Well,
but there's so many channels out there now between YouTube, Facebook.
It's difficult. It really is difficult, especially with my business, is because it's candles. You know, it's cologne. How many people do you know are just going to buy a bottle of cologne that they've never smelled off the internet? You know, so it is difficult. So you've got social media galore. I mean, because of him here, I started doing commercials. So getting, you know, just like his produce commercial, you know, brought in so many fucking people to see to see my website. And I mean, the sales went through the roof at one point. But just, you know, you put a face to the cologne. That's the way that you could do it. A lot of people, you know, okay, like vanilla and lavender, you know, it's one of the most popular scents on the planet. Of course, mine is the best out of every single one, but you know what it smells like. But the funny thing is each vanilla lavender smells different than next. They never smell exactly alike.
Right.
So you never know. So that's another need for like a brick and mortar, you know. Most of my customers are originally, you know, through word of mouth. Friends of mine or something like that, and then word of mouth, one, you know, you tell two people, they tell two people, they tell two people, you know, and then all of a sudden I have like repeat customers and new customers and new clients that I'm making private label for their stores. I mean, I have candles in stores. I've been 17 stores across the United States, but they're not mine. I mean, they're mine, but they're not mine. They're not my name.
Right.
They're private label, so the store's name that's on the candles. You know, but they're my candles. I've made them, and I do everything by hand. So, I, you know, make the order literally.
Ronnie, talk about politics a little bit. You're independent driven. What are the couple of things you think everyone needs to understand that's not part of the mainstream right now that people really need to be paying attention to, especially coming into midterms? What should people be looking for?
Well, I think it's important. I think we're in a great awakening right now, politically. I think this last election has actually done us a service, even though I know many of us are frustrated at certain things that are happening. But it's a real wake-up call to understand more about how our system works. And it's pretty cool, actually. There's a lot of different ways outside of your vote that you can get involved. But you got to just do your homework. You got to get out there and do your research. Stay away from just the corporate mega multimedia empires of CNN and Fox and ask more questions and talk with people that have different perspectives than you, because a lot of times if you can get past that first hurdle of, you know, putting someone down or just automatically deciding you're not going to agree with them and letting that be enough to not talk with them, you're doing yourself a disservice, because I think one of the things we've done in this country, especially around the family dinner table at holidays, is we say, oh no, don't talk about religion and politics. But we've essentially taught ourselves not to have some of the most important conversations that we should learn how to healthfully do. So I would challenge all of your listeners that even if you encounter someone who may be on a different, you know, may identify as a different label, you know, whether they're a D or an R or anything in between, have the conversations. And instead of, like, there's always going to be the people that aren't rational. They're coming from a more emotional place for whatever reason. And at some point, you're going to have to just learn to be wise enough to disengage. But I think most people, if you can get into that dialogue and find common ground, you might learn something. You might learn something new, or at least keep that bridge open so that you could cross it in another couple of weeks with some new information. You know, and I think we need to start looking at facts. You know, we need to start looking at facts and making decisions that are best for the country, you know, not just for big corporations or oligarchs. We really do need to make sure, because what's going to happen is the system is going to fall apart on itself if we don't close that wealth gap. I think we need to pay attention to that.
Well said. And Theo, talk about, there's so many apps out there now for doing this art, that art. Technology has come so much in art where it's not really a creative process anymore, but pressing buttons. Where do you see something like that, who actually has the skills that took the time to learn that? How do you feel about the digital revolution?
Well, Scott, I'm 53 years old. I got my degree in 1990 in fine arts and illustration. And I was working on a type of board that architects and illustrators used called Letramax board, hot press. That company that makes those boards no longer exists.
Wow.
So many of the tools, just the tools that I used when I was going to school and first starting out, are no longer available. I was fortunately able to find some at a warehouse in Chicago and buy a whole bunch of, you know, what they had in stock, and that's probably enough for the rest of my life. But it made me realize that I'm a dinosaur. I can't really even teach what I do because I don't have the boards, and, you know, so I feel sort of like I'm going extinct, which, you know, I'm too young to die. But it is a new world. It's a new age. I've had, you know, as a growing artist myself, I've had to adapt to the different medias, you know, so I had to learn to become a photographer in order to do my drawing and painting. But I also had, once learning photography, I also had to learn Photoshop so that I could do all of my photography, you know, and do everything in-house. So it's a constantly evolving game,
right?
Yes, that's where I can put it, or force of creation. I mean, you just have to keep learning and open to learning. And, you know, so you have to, like, sometimes wear several different hats, you know, to handle all the digital advances. I mean, I try to be a little bit of, you know, I aspire to be a geek. Like one program I watch to keep up on tech, and it's in the arts or in anything, is on BBC World. It's called Click. And every week on Saturdays, they talk about everything on technology. So that has helped me on occasion with my artistic career. But also, you know, like, which is the best phone to buy? You know, and which, you know, which, like, camera is the best on which phone, right? You know, is this brand better, or is this one better? Which has higher resolution, which has more effects? You know, like Michael was saying, I mean, you can do everything on the phone now. You don't need any of the, you know, the big equipment. You can, like, do it all yourself now. So, you know, from when I started as an artist to where it is today, it's set itself on the ballgame. It's all open playing field for anyone to do anything that they want. And the only problem is distribution and marketing. So, after I answer the question.
No, it does. No, it's fantastic. This has been a great, diverse panel, guys. Thank you so much today. I really appreciate all your time.
Thank you.
All of my guys listeners can follow you. Michael, give your social media out.
Oh, my God, there's so much. Okay, there's michaelvaccaro.com. There's the original child of the 70s.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on the Instagram, all over the place. Yeah.
Scott?
Mine is cbtkendallla.com. On Facebook, it's the same, Scott Travis, or cbtkendallla.com. And Instagram. Yep.
And you guys can check me out at ronniekroll.com, R-O-N-N-I-E, last name Kroll, K-R-O-E. LL.com. And all the social media is all Ronnie Kroll.
Super.
My website is robinsonarts.com, R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N-A-R-T-S.com.
My other site and on Facebook, is theplutorum.com.
Super. Well, guys, it's been a fantastic time. Thanks for taking your time from all about here to Palm Springs. I appreciate it immensely. Christina, get a final song ready to play up here. Tomorrow, we're going to have Billy Clift. We're going to have David Milburn. We're going to have Jasper Cole. It's going to be a fun talk all about movies at Old Hollywood tomorrow and the Black Cat Revolution, a little bit of gay activism there, all sorts of fun stuff. Thanks for being tomorrow is going to be Christina's last show with me. I'm so sad out here.
Aww.
Christina, thanks for all your help back in Ohio. Be sure to tune in tomorrow, 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Eastern, right here at the Left and Straight Show. We're having a great night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. I just survived. Oh, you will see me thrive. Can write my story. I'm beyond the archetype.
Sit at a desk. They sit at a desk. You have sales reports. They have book reports. You need supplies. They need supplies. Business is a lot like school. That's why your small business should take advantage of back-to-school deals at Staples. Now, Staples 1-inch 3-ring binders are $1.92. One subject notebooks are just 25 cents, and 2 pocket poly folders are just 35 cents each. Make back-to-school your business at Staples.
In-store only while supplies last. Offer ends 9/1/18, limit 30.
So here's the thing. I'm a rooster. It's my job to wake everyone up. Mornings are my busy time. What with having to keep an eye on the horizon? It's not an easy gig. Mornings are what they are. But it's different for you because there's McDonald's. And right now you can get 2 breakfast sandwiches for $5. Mix and match the tasty toasty egg McMuffin and the savory satisfying sausage McMuffin with egg. But only for a limited time. Turns out McDonald's makes mornings better. For you at least. Excuse me.
Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.